Where are you? The Whip Around with your hosts, Dave DiOrio.
Don't you stop me!
So to my question, you did.
This is my segment!
I am actually looking at Alton Brown's ambrosia recipe.
Sean Hayes.
That is totally it. That is a slam.
In space!
Words!
I'm the baloney man for Halloween. You just can't see it.
And Dr. Phil LaPorta.
No, this guy represents death and you're going to die. Like, that should happen. It's funny you say spewage. It's space toilets.
Oh!
A weekly look at news, current events, and pop culture phenomena. Where nothing is safe, nothing is sacred, and nothing is censored. So it's the Whip Around.
Incredible.
Oh, God. So the whip around is here. The whip around is here. The whip around is 50. What do you think of that? 50th episode. Welcome, everybody, to the whip around. I am Sean Hayes, and I don't feel a day over.
And I'm Phil LaPorta, and I don't feel a day under.
And I'm Dave DiOrio, and I feel like I felt every one of these episodes.
but 50, not quite 100, not quite a year of episodes, but it's,
damn close.
It's definitely, to put it in Dave language, not nothing. This is decidedly not nothing.
It's certainly something.
I guess
it is. I do say that a lot, don't I? That's not nothing.
No, you do.
So, I mean you're right.
The Dave action figure, I don't know if that would make the three
the drawstring.
Right. But it's a contender. Whatever Man is obviously.
That's the number one.
That's like in the bubble on the front of the box, because so that nobody has to go like, well, does he say
the
that,
classic?
You know?
Yes, he does.
But my first question, out of the gate, how does it feel to be turning 50? Guys,
it's an accomplishment. It's like it's a milestone. You feel like you've there's some track behind you now to look back on.
Yeah.
So it's it feels good.
I like that.
50's a nice number.
Yeah. It is.
It feels good. It feels like we made a lot of progress. It feels like we've gotten better, tighter, stronger.
Wow.
Longer lasting. I don't know. It just feels
Keep
good.
Keep going. We're playing with the nipples a little bit more. We're sensitive. We're paying attention. So eventually we'll have to figure out what we're going to do for the 1 year, which is two episodes away.
Something explosive.
Probably be saying something more specific about that next week. But in the meantime, how are you fellas?
Doing good.
That's fantastic. Dave has had a long week.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was in Boston for my brother's wedding. Lots of driving, lots of crabs and lobster up there. Lots of dancing into the wee hours, and I don't know. It was a good time.
He doesn't remember it, does he?
No, I remember.
I mean, I've seen the pictures are nice, so at least he remembers the pictures.
I wore a suit.
Myself, since you guys asked what I have been up to, I got to do another episode of Travis Bickle on the Riviera. That episode just came out the day we're recording here on Monday, but it's still nice and fresh. It'll have kept well. By the time people hear this
on
Wednesday.
Take the saran wrap off, 10 minutes on high.
Yeah, totally.
What was the centerpiece of that pod?
We talked some classic, excellent horror movies. So we talked about Texas Chainsaw Massacre. We talked about the original Last House on the Left. We talked about Suspiria, which is way up there on my list now. I love that movie. Hmm. And talked about Dawn of the Dead. Plenty of awesome horror movie action. Check it out. Very informed. I'm just trying to keep up with him during those conversations.
Seasonally appropriate.
And it is.
It's all spoopy.
He gave me this list of horror movies. I'm ignoring that. Of horror movies. It must have had, I don't know, 50. Hey, it's like the magic.
Synergy!
Magic world, synergy! but this list that I'm
at
making.
At home, drink. Or driving, also.
Anyway, he gave me this list, lots of movies on it. I'm working my way through it, so that's pretty cool. But check it out and tell him we sent you on the whip around. But here we are, 50th episode, and I'm excited to bring this up.
We are breaking format.
Wouldn't it be fun? Because, yes, we are saving the segments. Don't you stress. We've got your back on this.
But we're
citizens.
Opening with fun.
Yeah, we thought it would be fun for us to talk about our favorite shows from the past, our episodes that really floated our metaphorical boat.
Or literal.
And that, yeah, who knows where we've been. You don't know where we've been. You don't know where I am.
And don't put us in your mouth.
You don't know me. You don't know me. But the point is this. We get to splice in like a bunch of pros, some clips from the episodes that we're going to mention. We don't have Jill on the show with us right now, but we did get her answer. She mentioned a very – talk about breaking format. It was episode 16, Whip Around on Fire was her favorite. And do you guys remember that one? When we faced the Wheel of Spice.
Jill is now in ye olde hot seat at the table of doom. Dave is next to me here at the table.
It's worse now.
It's so bad. With an evolving spice situation. So that'll be interesting. And again, we don't have any visuals on this. I'll try to.
I think when like me and Jill are commentating you, it's just going to be a lot.
Just
of
a lot of panting and. So let's get a shot of Jill with her makeshift gloves. Right. Jill, can we get a little heft of those hands, nice and high? Raise the roof. In a sanitary way, with the hands protected by Ziploc brand gloves. So, Jill, I guess we'll have Dave spin the wheel for you, right?
Sure.
And we shall see with Jill at round three, the Carolina Reap Around Sauce Challenge. What is in store?
I just feel so bad. I just kind of hope it's no spice. So, it's fourth wing.
It's fourth wing, Jill.
I mean, do I even have to get it if I'm worried? I guess I'll grab it just in case.
Just in case.
How are we feeling, Dave? You sure you don't want some milk, man?
You know, I'm not really like a milk guy.
No, I know, but are you a pain and suffering guy,
Well, a banana. I'm enjoying just the water. The ice feels amazing. Like if I just suck on a cube, my nose is just poor.
Jill now has her four. Carolina Reap Around. I can't get enough of saying that. Spiced wings. Several of them do look sizable. Several of them do look like there are hormones to be considered within our chicken in the United States. So, Jill, are you ready? What's going through your mind right now, actually?
Jill looks really sad.
Yeah.
I don't want to be ill.
I don't want to be here. Oh,
later
okay.
After I eat all this stuff.
Yeah, any wing challenge is just the prelude belly. To a bathroom challenge later. Right. So, Jill, are you ready?
I am.
Supper! Round three!
It's hard want to dig in.
What's interesting is I'm flanked now, as of now, as Jill bites into the first wing. I'm now, you know...
Dave, any highlight memories from that episode for you?
I mean, I remember the next day more than I remember the night of. But I do remember drinking shots of habanero sauce... because I was very unlucky in the Wheel of Spice.
You didn't just get habanero, to be fair. I mean, Dave, by the end, he had a shot of like Carolina Reaper mixed with ghost pepper mixed with habanero sauce.
Yeah, it was bad.
Dave had the...
It sounded bad.
Yeah.
There's a little clip of that on the Facebook, and he does not look happy while he's doing this.
Yeah, no. I can't remember who won that.
You did.
Is that who won that?
You ass.
You're a jackass.
But hey,
I wonder who won that. Hey, is it me?
Because we're coming around again to that time of year, I figure we might mark it again by doing something similar. Alas, they've discontinued the One Chip Challenge.
Oh, no.
At Pocky.
Planning on
I know. So I figure we could either do the Death Nut Challenge that's out there or something like it. For me, my favorite is a no-brainer. Maybe this is cheap of me to say it, but it was last week. it was the episode 49.
Recency bias.
Yeah, I know. The Ecstasy of Moose. But I thought about that, Dave. I did. I can counter that by saying that I was weeping with laughter on the show.
Go ahead, Dave. I'm
just
processing.
Trying to take this from like a more logistical approach. So she wants you to purchase poop from her and put it inside your house.
Oh, well, Dave, you can put it anywhere you want.
No, I get it.
You can put it outside, inside, okay. put it in a private gallery.
Is it? I'm assuming that she like lacquers it or something.
It does.
I hope it's not just like she's giving you big turd.
What?
They all look together this whole time. But it does look shiny. They all look.
So you can shine a turd.
Yes. I'm fucking crying. I'm crying.
What the hell?
You can't polish a turd. I'm sorry. It's so stupid. I'm sorry we do the weird news. This is so stupid.
Okay.
But I love her, and yes, it does look like it's shined up. I'm sorry.
Okay, so she's not just giving you raw materials.
That is
here.
Correct. And it does appear that moose, they must have a lot of fiber, because it's obviously she's not giving you like a sculpture in a cup. This is, you know, it does look dry. It does look solid. It does look polished. This might be the hardest I ever laughed in a show.
I've never knocked you off your chair before, and I did. That was impressive.
As I was explaining it to Kate, I remember suddenly I was leaning one way, and then the next thing I knew, I was leaning the other way. Without, I just was gone. That one was chock full of laughs, plus it's such a good display of this new way we're doing it, where everybody has something to
and
share.
Something interesting.
Right. Yeah. Everyone's giving something. Each time, it was just nailing a different angle. So that was very fun. Phil, was that a special one to you at all?
I enjoyed that one because I've never gotten to make you cry like that before. And to hit that ad lib when I did and to send you off your chair.
You say ad lib like the rest is fully scripted. Which is great considering how terrible I did in the intro to this particular episode. Like, I don't feel a day older than the.
But no, but to you know, I think the audience knows, our loyal listeners know that we clearly have things written out where we want to hit certain points, and we make sure we do. And then when we're reacting to each other, you get first glance at our reactions.
Sure.
And to be able to come up with that one, that moment was like, that worked. Felt good, man.
But what about you guys?
Dave.
What about you? What about you two and favorite episodes?
I love all the guests that we have on the show. I would say my two favorite thing are the guests that we have on the show and all the fun games that we play. So I think that the apex of both of those things was when we had Paul Fidalgo on from the Center of Inquiry.
Inquiry.
It's a new way now.
LGBT.
Way.
I don't know.
I got it. I see.
And we played the Build a Cult workshop.
Yes. I'm going to be joining a cult today, gentlemen. And it's going to be one of yours. Because we are about to play the Build a Cult workshop. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We have now entered the Build a Cult workshop. It's very simple. We go around 5 quick rounds. I'm going to give you a prompt, Dave and Paul. You're going to describe your choices for the cult that you're going to build. And if you're super convincing, you have the benefit of having this guy right here that you can't see, just aggressively pointing his thumbs at himself, joining your cult as your very first convert. All right? Are you ready, my chosen two?
So.
All right. We're going to start. We'll go Paul first, next round Dave first, and so on. Here we go. Round one. How did your deity of choice contact you about your new culty mission? A burning plant, a towering messenger, talking bit of toast, something else. How did your deity of choice contact you and give you the good word of your mission on Earth?
Oh, well, clearly it happened because of the smoke detector. It was doing that thing it does when you think that the battery is low and it's beeping at you and it's being a real pain in the ass. And so you go up and you try to fix it, right? And so when I did that and I pulled the battery out, the battery was glowing, some sort of like kind of purplish and green kind of thing. And when I touched it, it electrocuted me entirely. I fell to the floor and suddenly I had all the information I needed to save humanity.
Paul, have you been playing this game before? Wow. Like, is this your first time? Wow! An incredible answer from Paul.
I'm
just telling you what happened.
Dave might be in a bit of trouble here. Dave. I'm very proud of that game and proud of how everybody did at that game.
I learned something when you guys played that game.
Did you?
For some reason, I always thought it was Latiku, not Lakitu.
You know, I used to think that too
really?
I came around. It was in middle school, but I did have that misconception for quite some time.
Okay.
It comes more trippingly off the tongue for the way that you pronounce it.
Go figure.
But I don't want to say it or I'll fall back into old habits. What was the title of that episode? Do we remember?
To Ways Less Riven with Fuckery.
Yeah, which was Fidalgo quote from the episode. We have to have him back sometime. Touch
Hi,
base
Paul.
Again. Phil?
Yeah.
Favorite I mean, they're all favorite, but a highlight.
Everything.
Pick between your children.
Yes. And murder the rest.
Which one do you love the most?
It's a real Filsey's choice.
Episode 37, Grannies with Attitude.
Another awesome poster.
Another awesome poster. Monty Python, indeed. There was too much fun on that whole damn episode.
Too much.
There really was. It was between.
Too much fun on the whip around.
Between Dave's cane foo.
Oh, that was a cane
that
foo.
That was cane foo, my grannies. I forget what you brought on that one.
I don't know if I had anything against those.
And then it was also the episode where I got to say paradonglia.
Hey, it was the first.
It was impressive.
Because now it's here again.
I know.
Not just one donglia. I want a paradonglia.
Also, Sean's comment about how chipper I was and the way you described me waiting to bring this story up.
I vaguely remember that. I look forward to listening to this very
clip
episode
slice.
So that I can hear the clip.
So, somebody found an alien penis on Mars. Any
what?
Does anybody have any questions?
No.
Just thought I'd let's just go right there.
Oh, first of all, initial reaction is that that's a great headline. The second one is that I wish I had been staring at Dave when you said it, and I didn't.
Oh, screen capture.
Oh,
where art thou?
Martian ding-dongs. Shouldn't assume, though, I guess, that it was Martian. It's alien. Doesn't mean it's Martian.
I mean, it could have been another alien that landed on Mars, for
right.
all I know. Right.
Yeah. A Jupiterian penis.
Yeah.
Which I imagine those are, like...
bigger. Like way bigger.
Chody.
Yeah, well, a gas giant, right?
So, right, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Oh, gross.
Low density.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Float in the bathtub.
Tell the listeners what...
Oh, there it is. The suggestively shaped protrusion.
Come
on. Show.
I know. And now this is, right?
It's a fucking rock.
It's a... Thank you. Thank you.
All right.
So, wait.
We'll post this. You got to be lonely or misinformed.
Absolutely.
Looking at rocks all day and starting to hallucinate.
Or very, very lonely.
Or you put it there.
I mean, one of the two, right? So I bring this up for another reason, because I saw that and the first thing it made me think of is...
Dave.
I was going to say Dave is going to love this.
Is that Mars is clearly a male planet.
I mean, we knew that, right? And so I was like, this is going to be funny for Dave anyway. And I just couldn't wait to see your face, Sean, when I said there's an alien dick on Mars. I thought that was great.
I don't, although if it's a Martian dick, it's not alien. It's actually,
again,
there's
once
an indigenous
again, right,
dick
yeah.
on Mars.
There's an
there's your episode title.
That's a shame. It's so early. We got it.
Well, it's a candidate.
Well, wait. But now, wait. It tied into other science. So let me do this real fast, which is I thought about and I was looking up the term, which is pareidolia. Right? That's the name.
I assume, I think.
It's the name of the phenomenon whereby you recognize,
schlongers.
Well, I was going to say, you recognize faces in different things. And it's a defense mechanism built into, you see the tiger in the bushes. Better you make the mistake and think it's a tiger than not recognize the tiger's face.
So we've evolved to know to stay away from alien penises.
I was going to say, so this is like paradonglia?
Oh, my goodness gracious.
I was sitting on that one since.
You are, now I understand so much about your sunny disposition this entire time since you got here. Like, you like had a, you've had the equivalent of a wedding ring in your pocket.
I've been waiting on this like all freaking weekend.
Oh,
I'm going to be so depressed for the rest of the show because I'm done.
I do, Phil. Wow, that was a really
it was
great
amazing,
clip.
Right? I know.
So yeah, those are some major highlights.
Hope
although,
you've enjoyed the little splices and the trip down memory lane.
Yeah, you're all part of this ride, and we're glad you're here. And what a fantastic job we are all doing, citizen and host alike. Let us know too if we're not mentioning something. If you're like, hey, there was a standout that I want to make sure to mention. We'll even give it a shout out maybe next episode, something like that. But let us know.
Yeah, if you guys have your highlights, we always want to listen.
Yeah. Phil translates English into English. Dave, do you want to try saying it?
No.
I all think right.
Summed it up.
All right.
Best you can.
Go to our really happening Twitter account and share it, or just email us at thewhiparound@gmail.com, or break tradition and go and tell us about your tweet on Instagram or Facebook. Damn it. So we're going to take a break.
Drop a letter to our P.O. box, right?
Yeah, send it on in. P.O. Box.
We also take carrier pigeons.
P.O. Box.
We are big into smoke signals.
5-8.
And kindling is free on the weekends.
5-8-0-0-8. Every immature seventh grader who listens to this show just got a real kick out of that shit.
Yeah, and so did I.
Or just
Phil, 5-8-0-0-8.
Or just pick up your telephone and shout Chesterfield, 555.
Phil, 5-8-0-0-8.
I don't get it.
What?
Maybe once like 5537-8008.
Yeah.
Can we just go to break? I gotta pee.
All right, fine. Friggin' boobless wonder over here. We'll be right back.
The Whiparound Gods demand tribute. You can leave your tribute in the form of a rating on iTunes. A review on iTunes or Facebook. Please subscribe.
We are back, although it feels like we were gone for, I don't know. Only
the length of a commercial.
Only as long as it takes for a brilliant commercial, yeah. We've got a special treat for this 50th episode, and I'm kind of, it's like the segment around. Where
wow.
Everybody is
we
gonna
should have had a script.
Pew pew pew.
Bag of dicks, Phil. Where everybody is going to be doing their own segment. It's not radically different from normal anymore. However, as Phil put it, it's not just news; it's our news, which I feel like should be our new slogan.
Actually,
news you can lose.
Right?
No, don't lose us.
Welcome to the meta round.
Welcome to the mediocre round.
Welcome to the Whip Round Unplugged. We decided the order is Phil, Dave, Sean, which is an unsettling sentence. But we're gonna do.
We put the comma, man.
Right. Yeah. Thank you. It's all about the comma.
That's right. It's all about the comma. And we're going to, you know, science it up. We're going to angry it up.
Well, they know it's coming.
Macabre it up.
Let's just do it.
I know. I believe we should start things out in an intelligent way, Phil. Do you have any ideas about how we could do that?
I think we should do it with science! Still matters, damn it.
Is your soft palate okay?
No.
Tore something in your mouth.
I was teaching all day, and then I come here. Listen, since September... Listen to the episodes
go back.
I'm on.
Everybody, go back.
Just pause this
real
go
quick.
Back. Listen to the voice change.
Back to September. I'm not even going to tell you the episode numbers or names. Just find September.
Well, speaking of making my life difficult, Sean, Dave, does it ever seem like science just wants to make things difficult for you?
Does science want to make things difficult for me?
You want to make things difficult for me. I get that feeling, Phil.
Maybe.
It's keeping me down, man.
It's keeping you down. I don't blame you. Now, not unrelated question, and I'm actually genuinely
curious. Was that a gravity joke?
No, it wasn't.
But we made it one.
It is now.
Too late.
Boom, you just got whip-arounded.
Oh, dear.
Anyway, this has been.
I'm done. I'm genuinely curious about this answer, Sean, from you, and I have a feeling I know what the answer is going to be from Dave. So, Dave, do you read things and then forget what you read?
Like immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, like I'll read it and I'll be like, I have no idea what I just read.
Yeah. Do you ever have that happen to you?
And I have to reread it. Yes.
Okay. And Sean, you being the literary type, I wonder if this happens to you in any frequency.
I feel like
you're kind of built for words.
I would like to think so. Sometimes if I'm tired and I'm like, no, I'm not going to stop reading, I'll realize I got to the bottom of a page and go, I have no idea what just happened.
Okay.
I have to go back. But if I'm like, I'm reading now.
Okay.
I'm not
sure
about to slide into our, you know, like to REM sleep.
Well,
no, I retain.
Well, let me combine those two questions for you. Introduce.
Do you ever feel like science is, what, do you retain anything while you're keeping you down, gravity joke? Oh, Phil's gone.
Damn it.
He's gone.
You did that so well manually.
I get that a lot, Phil.
Masturbation joke. Introducing from Royal Melbourne Institute of Technology, Sans Forgetica.
Oh, is this a font thing?
It's a font thing.
Oh, boy.
Okay, so the researchers over there in both the psychology and design labs came up with the idea to make a font that is slightly difficult to read. The reason...
You could just get a blank white paper, change the color of the letters to white, you win. Job done.
The rationale behind it is that when you have a little bit of effort you need to make to do something, you retain it better. So for study guides and things like that, they've released a font called Sans Forgetica. And I love the name. And the idea is that it is just difficult enough to read so that you don't get frustrated and stop reading, but it's just difficult enough to read so that you have to put in the effort and therefore will retain more of the information you read.
Okay. What makes it difficult to read? Is it like too small or is it smushed?
Can I show?
We have visual aids on an audio podcast.
Can I show? No, I haven't looked at this much, Dave.
You can look at the other side.
I can't. I don't have.
I wonder if Dave can read what it says.
Okay. Hang on. I got it up.
Can you make that out?
Yeah, so it's what made Dave angry this week.
Yes, right. It is. And
So it's just like chunks are taken out of the letters.
Yeah, which makes it not quite at all easy to read. Sean, can you read this one?
Science, it still matters, damn it.
Right, but now, actually, Dave, can you describe what you're seeing, like how the letters are? Because I think you said it pretty well, but I just want to get a clear.
It's almost like if you took a little,
scientist. Oh, okay.
No, it's like you took a little square and kind of like went around all the letters and just hit like click to delete. Like you used the, like a little, an eraser thing on MS Paint.
That's actually just, really.
So yeah. You just went around and went, click, delete that section, click, delete that. Like, that's the best way I can sort of describe it.
That's pretty accurate. And the idea is that this makes it just difficult enough to read so that you've got to make a little bit more effort to read it. And by making a little bit more effort to read it.
Bishop Bublinkel, hell to Danaw. A little shout out to the behind the scenes thing about two people. Will
show
understand.
This one to Dave. Dave, can you read this one out?
And this is for Dave.
Penis, 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 and go.
There it is. Okay.
Both backstage, as backstage, it were, as whip it around were traditions that possibly. Will not explain. You can no, tell the cops just, to come and ask.
Please don't tell the cops to come and ask. But yeah, but this is just some of the little fun things. And this is one of those things where I was looking at it, and I just thought it was such an interesting thing from pop psychology.
He has one that says, here's the thing, but
I know, but I have it.
It's like in Lord of the Rings at the end of the last one when like the three eagles come to rescue Sam and Frodo, and there's like one for Gollum, and he's not there. And then it's sort of... Jill's Gollum in this scenario, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Real nice.
Well, you get my point. It was a really sad, touching moment. Hey, Joe. You're precious.
I hope you didn't dive into a volcano while we haven't seen you. But, I mean, it's just, I thought it was such an interesting twist on, you normally think science should make things easier. I think the little idea of making things, have it taking just a little bit of effort to do it, I think is an interesting idea. This is downloadable. You can get it on your computer. Go to sansforgetica.rmit, and I think it'll show up there. I'll put the link in the show notes.
You can also rub some salt in your eyes and then just read normal shit.
Or set the font to yellow and print it on the page too.
Right.
But, you know, sometimes a little effort is good for us, and you know what helps us remind – you know why – I tried to segue
Tommy,
out. I used all my segue.
Phil's talking in Sans Forgetica right now.
No outro. We're good. Science, it still matters. Damn it, we're
Woo!
Done. I used all my segues last show.
Yeah. Well, this. Believe me, the episode is a woolly one already. Totally understandable. Moving right along.
Oh,
let's go with that sense of frustration that Phil was building on and turn things over to Dave.
You segued.
I did, but now I'm doomed on episode 51, I think is how it works.
Right.
But I think we could do with a little bit
of what made Dave angry this week! That was a long Jesus.
Yeah, that was a long Jesus.
It's a new snarl.
I would like to know. And Dave has just done one, so this is like another ka-chung. This is like act two.
Well, this is what I want to talk about, okay? Yeah, I want to talk about the NFL for a second, the National Football League, not to get all Potadelphia up in here, but I do want to talk about football for a second. I want to talk about football fans specifically and the reaction to things, okay? So in case you haven't noticed – NFL has changed some of its rules regarding how you can tackle a quarterback, how you can strike an opposing player when they're going up for a pass, all in the interest of player safety. Right. Okay? And the fan reaction to this is ridiculous.
Well, you know, you're not playing dress up here. You're not playing T-sets. It's football. People are going to get hurt. Look, if you don't like these rule changes and you don't like the fact that we're making changes in the interest of player safety, then you don't like football, because that is how football is going to be from now and forever. And without these changes, there won't be football, because people fucking die from playing football. Not in the game, but later on in life, they are dying from playing this game that you love so much and watching people bash into each other so
Sometimes they die during the game.
What?
Sometimes they die during the game.
Well, close.
Okay, fair
enough.
A little bit. Fair enough. But, I mean, you know, God forbid we keep the best players in the world actually playing the game for a season. And just because you're some sort of savage and want to see people's heads get snapped off, we're supposed to let that happen. So, I mean, like, get over yourself. This is going to keep the game on the TV for a lot longer than it would naturally, because I know I said it on this podcast before, I wouldn't let my kids play football. So that's what's got me angry this week, this sort of fan reaction to seeing people wanting to see people get hurt or keep things the way they are, even though they're in a decline.
I have a question, Dave.
Grow up.
Yeah, Phil's been itching to ask something.
Genuine question. So you say, and I assume slightly hyperbolically, that, you know, it's because people are savages and they just want to see it. What do you think is there some other reason other than just like that horrible human instinct to see carnage? Why do you think people are so upset with the rule changes?
They're upset about the rule changes because you're upset when it negatively affects your team, right? So the Eagles had a pretty shady call against them for a personal foul for a hit on a quarterback on Sunday. But you know what? Get over it, because it's going to keep quarterbacks playing the game. It's just part of it now.
You think that people are getting angrier because they have like vicious defenses that now are kind of getting like a little nerfed basically by these rules.
Yeah, I think there's part of that too.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure.
Sorry, go ahead, Dave.
Yo, you go.
You better listen to him, man.
Being generous.
You better listen to him.
I figure I'm scared. The sense I get is that not all or anything, but that a sizable component of the NFL fan base trends a little more conservative. And I don't mean that in terms of politics even. I mean that in terms of their people who tend to be like, I don't like changes as much. You know, let's just kind of keep things slow. We've done this. I like tradition. I like the way we've always done this. They have, you know, the teams have some of them fight songs. I know Washington, this fight's good. They're proud of this fight song. Goes all the way back to whenever. The names, when sometimes they're like, Redskins sounds a little racist. Well, look, as we've always done it this way, let's not, you know.
So you're applying conservative in the sense of tradition.
My question to Dave, though, is do you think that some of the pushback is sort of not just the savagery, not just the bloodlust, but because the fans tend to be of a certain sort that they're like, well, we don't like change.
I mean, maybe. Every single one of these sports goes through an evolution, and football is vastly different now than it was at its inception. And you know, so is hockey. Lots of sports change like that. And there is always that population of, like, you know, quote unquote, old school guys or whatever that wanted it to be. The old days were always the best days, but you know, change or die, right? Isn't that evolve or die?
That's
the way it is.
You'd hope.
And I'm telling you, if football did not change, did nothing about anything, it would not be here in a generation. I mean, I applaud them for doing everything they possibly can to make this game as safe as humanly possible. But I just keep going back to the fact that if you don't like the way it is now, you're not a football fan, because this is the way football is going to be. So you might as well just embrace it and get used to it.
I like it. Some stern words from Dave.
Stern words of warning.
Yeah, and some prediction. I kind of want us to bookmark this moment where Dave, hey, I'm telling you.
Easy to find. It's episode 50.
That's right. So it's a nice round number for Dave's prediction. Nostradamus over here.
Oh!
And what
well,
a
Betty White's still walking around. So
that's right.
Got 4 months to go.
What a great addition.
Of what made Dave angry this week?
Which leaves me.
So, I mean, he's talking about death and possible dying, which kind of segues quite nicely into...
the second edition. The return of Sean's Cabinet of the Macabre!
That's weird.
Macabinet.
Or the Macabinet.
The Macabinet, actually, I just realized, sounds like something you should be able to order off the dollar menu.
Someday will be, Phil.
It's going to be.
Someday.
It's Halloween. They should be featuring that show.
Now, some people remember birthdays really well. Some people are really good at memorizing sports factoids. I've heard both of you humanoids spout some yourselves. You know, still others, they know movie details forwards and backwards. They know who directed it. They know who, you know, like... Sean Witzke on Bickle, you know, and the other podcast just
Gabe
has
Mara
so much.
Yeah,
Gabe Mara and Ryan Snyder, both same deal. I have an affinity toward recalling dark and disastrous moments. This week is home to a fascinating, bleak, irresistibly dark anniversary. And I know what you might be thinking. Sean's going to talk about the Great Chicago Fire. No, too obvious, too easy, even though I believe it started... You know, and what is it, 18, whatever it was, today, like it was this date through, I think, what would be Wednesday's date. Anyway, not the point. I'm going deeper than that. This anniversary, this macabre-cursary. Sounds like dead ass. I don't know. This one will fall not long after, though, this episode hits. So look forward on Friday to celebrating the first patients admitted to America's first insane asylum, which opened in Virginia on October 12th, 1773. That's right. 147 years since we really got weird on people suffering from mental health problems. And we did not do so great.
No.
It was called the Public Hospital for Persons of Insane and Disordered Minds. And it was in Williamsburg.
Now Colonial Williamsburg.
I was going to say. Seriously? That Williamsburg?
Yeah. Yeah. And
I wonder if they have that on the tour still.
Well, it's still a thing. It's now turned into a thing where I believe it's a hospital today, although it is.
Oh, like an actual.
Guaranteed to not be as interesting to people like me. but it focused on, according to the words of then Governor Fauquier, quote, persons who are so unhappy as to be deprived of their reason, which should give you some idea how much sympathy they had for these people with genuine problems. And I thought we could examine some of the treatments that were awaiting lucky inmates back then.
It's going to give me nightmares tonight.
Maybe.
I don't think they subjected them to aliens.
Well, they did treat them like they weren't from Earth. I'll give you that.
Oh,
now, this would be like pre transorbital lobotomy, right?
Correct. I was going to say, so we didn't have that. There were not
electricity, whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
So none of that, although I'm sure they would have found wonderful uses.
I'm sure they would have loved it.
Right.
Yeah.
But due to dubious claims of some victims of shipwrecks historically emerging from the shipwreck, you know, out of the water, it was said, science was not an exact science back then, that people who emerged from a shipwreck were sometimes less mentally strained coming out than they were going in. So the common understanding was that it must have been good. They were forcibly underwater.
Oh, shit.
And when they emerged, they had a different outlook. They had a different attitude. Perhaps the water was good for whatever. Thus, many patients there at this place and others were caged and submerged in water. And I've got a quote. When the bubbles stopped rising, you yanked him or her back up and hope she had survived the process and been restored to her senses. all right, haven't won you over yet to go back to the good old days.
God.
Another option was, of course, a tranquilizer.
Hmm. What did they even have?
No, not a drug. Not a drug. That was the name of a chair.
Uh-oh! Oh, you sneaky bastard.
Uh-huh. It was a chair that looked like an electric chair, or rather, I'm going to get freaky again. An electric chair looks a lot like the tranquilizer. But it was totally the unplugged version of the electric chair. And I've got another quote from, you know, a historian here. Quote, your arms and legs were pinioned to the chair. You had a closed stool beneath in case you evacuated your bowels. There was a padded headrest that went over your eyes and ears. It cut off all sensation. It prevented you moving, and supposedly it reduced the flow of blood to the brain. And then, quote, cool water was then poured on the person's head and hot water on the feet to, I'm quoting his, from historical documents, to draw things away.
Oh, we sucked at science and medicine, didn't we?
So you just got
so many years.
You just got tranquilized, which it does sound very soothing. It's sort of like a massage if you were trying to kill.
I mean, I was down with being strapped in the chair for a while until you started putting hot water on my feet.
Right. And anything that says, we also, of course, provide you with a bucket beneath you because you're going to shit. You're going to shit what happens next.
I mean, that was where you lost me. It was like,
Oh, well, then you're going to love this, too. This is maybe my favorite horrifying method. It's simple and elegant and wonderful. Legit. These people, remember, we now know, of course, they had real problems, genuine medical problems. I'm not making light of that.
No,
how we treated them.
That's the funny part.
That is so macabre as to be funny. They just spun them. They would spin them in any varieties of ways with various devices until they puked, which was supposed to, quote, shock them back to sanity. So if the submerging in water doesn't work, which side advantage, you could find out maybe if they were a witch, right? You could put them in the tranquilizer chair, squish them to the chair, let them shit it out a little bit. Warm water, cold water, see how they feel about that. If that doesn't work, like a record, baby, just spin and spin and spin. So this, along with, the obvious protracted periods of total isolation, immobilization via numerous means, depriving them of freedom and various horrific means, makes October 12th one hell of a day on the macabre calendar. What do you guys think? You ready to celebrate with me? We can spin. We'll spin. We'll sit. We'll force each other underwater. It'd be great.
It's pretty much like up until maybe 10 or 15 years ago that you really needed to stay the hell out of a mental hospital.
Yeah.
It was an end, not a means. That's true.
It's so disturbing and so sad and amusing at the same time to see what people thought would actually work back then.
Do you think they thought it would work? Or do you think they were like, I don't know.
Well, you think they were just having fun with these people?
The
like,
chair didn't
let's
work.
Make them spin.
I don't know. Spin him. I don't know.
Straight up guess and test.
Right. Well, how long do I spin him? Is he, I don't know. Is he throwing up? I know he doesn't have any shit left. He was in the chair. Yeah. Well, I hope you all have enjoyed.
I mean,
Phil's still going.
I'm stuck.
Nope, Phil's done. Phil, why don't you come over and sit on this little contraption I made? I think we can extract some of the answers.
Only if I can take my pants off and shit in it.
Well, what do you think this little cone is for?
Gonna need a bigger cone.
Which is interesting because I feel, never mind. I was gonna try to make a sit and spin joke, but hey, clearly they weren't ready.
It's funny that you said take your pants off because I didn't even think about that part of it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I would have been like the worst order. Oh, I forgot to take the pants off. What's the point of the hole in the chair if you don't take the pants off?
Just kind of drip through.
Somebody
like
submerge Diorio over here. He's forgetting the process.
I feel like they should submerge you after you shit yourself. Right, just that occurrence.
Well, see?
Science Forgetica.
That's right. The whole medical journal was written in that. Again, I want to thank everyone for coming along on this second journey to peek inside Sean's cabinet of the macabre.
That's weird.
My cabinet.
And that does it. That is everybody's segment. And now we're going on break.
I hope you enjoyed it.
That was fun.
We'll be right back.
All right, let's see. Dating app. Let's check it out. Who are my matches today? Blaine. No. Luther. That's a no. Just a no. No shirt. Gross. The whip around on iTunes. It says here their ideal first date is mutual. I can get behind that. I definitely want to be a party to the date. Let me see. Okay, so I can rate them 5 stars for show. Review, that'll come after the date. oh, I can subscribe and like keep up to date with what they're up to. I'm gonna do that. Bloop. Awesome. Could be my perfect match. Fingers crossed.
Welcome back to the Whip Around. It's been the kind of time.
Please keep that
in that
there.
I am never going to forget, and I hope you don't either. It is now in the final stretch of the show of this, our 50th episode. And Phil's got something he wants to say.
I did want to say a very special thank you, first of all, to Kate, who does the fantastic artwork that goes up every week on Facebook, Instagram. You can see her wonderful covers for all of the episodes. They're absolutely awesome. And thank you to Caroline for being our webmistress, for getting everything posted, because you would not be enjoying it and seeing it and hearing it without her doing a lot of the heavy lifting.
Yeah, it would be us shouting as loud as we could so that people could hear us in the neighborhood.
So basically we'd have neighbors.
And none of our neighbors are really conducive to shouting
no,
like that.
No, not at this time of night anyway on a Monday.
And
And of course, thanks to all of the guests we've ever had.
Absolutely.
All the guests to come and you, dear citizens.
Everybody who filled out a survey.
Oh, yeah.
Congrats again to the winners.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Thank you, everybody. Thanks,
our
Dave, Jill,
family.
Sean.
Yeah. Thank you to Rogue Diplomats, our first and still
musical
only musical guest.
So
but
far.
We're going to try to have them back, maybe some more musical.
It's tick they weren't at Celtic Classic. They should have been there.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
they're awesome.
Managed to get a spot at music. They're
hey.
More like.
Missed them, I'm just saying.
More like they weren't lucky enough to have the Rogue Diplomats.
Oh, that's what you do.
Anyway, Dave, can you give us a little. Little taste of Potadelphia's action this week. How did it go? How was the show?
Score!
Oh, the show was great. you know, outcomes were a little hit and miss. You get to hear about polite booing from China, which was interesting. You know, the Flyers dropped the puck this week, so there's some juicy Flyers talk in there, and some disgruntled Eagle fandom happening this week. So, yeah, all good. Download, listen, rate, review, subscribe.
It's your Monday podcast.
That's right. Every Monday morning.
We're gonna have a Friday morning podcast also this week.
Oh,
I'm
supposed to play on Thursday night, so you get a Raw Nerve episode.
I'm surprised you guys are still doing that because it sounds exhausting. So we're going to segue away from that. Do definitely listen to Potadelphia, the best, most triumphant, wonderful Philadelphia-based sports podcast. Check it out every Monday morning and some Fridays. Like, I mean, we'll let you know when it's happening on Friday.
Oh, yeah.
So or just subscribe so that way you know anyway.
Yeah, you don't miss a single episode.
There you go.
You guys got an answer for everything.
We're into technology.
Well, it's time for Three for the Road, that time of the show where we get to talk about the things we didn't have time to talk about during the rest of the show that didn't fit in with the theme, such as it is, of the show. And each person gets to go three times, 30 seconds apiece. And when your 30 seconds is up, you'll hear something a wee bit like this. I don't know what accent that was, but that was Dusty the Decibel telling you it's time to shut up and move on to the next person. And once that is done, that's it. The show is over. Can you believe it? Just like that, the 50th episode will have wrapped. It'll be in the can. It'll be in your can. You little punk ass.
Can I go first? I have something that segues.
Phil's going to go first. Dave, you want to go second or third?
Woo!
Dave's going to go. Dave's going to go third. I think that's what a woo is. So it'll go Phil, Sean, Dave. And then we're done. And we're out of here. Damn it.
That's it. 50's enough. We're done.
That's right. No, don't go.
We're coming back.
You heard I just heard so many unsubscribe buttons being clicked.
There is no. Yes, there is.
Okay. Phil, are you ready?
Always.
Phil, are you set?
Forever.
Philly again!
So, apparently last month, the Quebec-based Lacaster Brewing Company recalled three different brands of its beer after numerous incidents of exploding bottles.
Yes.
You know what's causing them to explode? Too much fucking hops. Not only are they bad for beer because, and Dave and I were talking about this in the break, not only are they bad for making beer taste like absolute bitter shit, there's too much of a good thing, people. A little hop is good. Too much hop will re-ferment the beer, apparently. And can cause pressure to build up and explode. Guys, cut it the fuck out with this over-hoppy beer. It's not only shitty, it's dangerous.
In keeping with October, I've got murderous wheelchair news.
Whoa.
Gregory Lee Rodvelt of Oregon, already charged separately with assault and illegal explosives possession, is now in more trouble after an FBI agent was shot in the leg while investigating the perp's property. Evidently, Rodvelt had extensively booby-trapped his home inside and out with a bullet-rigged wheelchair, bear traps in his vehicle, and an upended hot tub on a ramp set to crush the unwary, like something out of Indiana Jones in the Spa of Doom. The agent was treated when the wheelchair went off, shot him in the leg, then released. But man, you can't trust criminals these days.
Jeez. Hey, Phil, do you know what 2015 TB145 is?
No.
It's called the Great Pumpkin by NASA. It's also called the Death Comet.
Oh, yes.
The Death Comet.
I thought it was an asteroid.
This fucker looks like a giant skull.
Yeah.
And it passes by the Earth around Halloween.
Yes.
It first came 3 years ago, and it's going to swing by again this year, I think early November. So you could check out a dead comet shaped like a skull flying by the Earth right near Halloween. How badass is that?
10 out of 10.
It's pretty awesome. Oh, the number. Boobies. Got it. Something else
God
for...
Jesus H. Christ.
Something else from in space.
Thank you.
You're welcome. The Mars Curiosity rover is fixing itself. It's actually switching brains in a beautiful example of redundant design. It went up with two processing units. One of the processors went down recently. It went down originally in 2013. It flipped brains. It's flipping back in an attempt to repair itself. This is the little rover that could. The thing was not supposed to last this long, and it's given us almost 2,200 Martian days of solid exploration. Keep on going, little rover.
I got a scary toilet gallery. In lighter news, I'd like to point citizens toward a fascinating Twitter account. Toilets with Threatening Auras was recently profiled on the Onion AV Club, and it is exactly what it sounds like, an exhaustive look at the world's creepiest, most disturbing, straight-up bizarre commodes. We're talking conjoined toilets, toilets in the shape of Bugs Bunny, outdoor toilets, high-heeled toilets, political figure toilets, even toilets made of toilet paper. See it, marvel, laugh, and despair. Toilets with Threatening Auras on Twitter.
Wow.
All right, I put one in Phil's wheelhouse, then I'm going to go to you, Sean. Sean, have you ever heard of the video game called Chiller?
Chiller? No.
Chiller. Okay, this is a 1986 game produced by a company called Exidy. It was a light gun game. This is the most fucked up, weird, bizarre, creepy game ever I've ever seen. Level one is basically a torture gallery where everyone's tied up and you just shoot all of the flesh off of their
bodies. I played this at the beach. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
And then level two is the rack room.
Yeah.
Where nude people are just tied up on the rack just for your shooting pleasure.
Yeah, you like shoot the thing.
Destroy the flesh right off of
them. And like the little wheel turns and like you squish somebody and shit.
Check it out.
I'm done now.
Bizarre.
That's creepy.
Why is that coming up?
I'm leaving the show.
I love that you brought that up. That's old.
It worries me that you're that
Hold
happy.
On, hold on. Is there a reason it came up or you're just like, that's fucked up?
No, yes. Well, Kotaku or whatever wrote a history of this game, like how it came about, what it is, and they did an interview with the producer. So I'll post it, obviously.
Okay, I need that. I'm sorry, Phil. Timekeeper's pissed.
That's fine. Just real quickly, this is just fun news, and this came across my desk, and you got to see some of the amazing, beautiful, and strange things from the World of Wearable Art competition. This is exactly what you think of when you think of completely impractical clothing to wear that's very haute couture and strange.
What'd you call me?
Yeah, and very strange. I mean, some of it from looking like xenomorphs to all kinds of weird shit to airplane bras. To organic looking things, to like a plague doctor. It's really beautiful. It's really strange. It's totally worth looking at. Enjoy.
Puerto Vallarta is the site of a bizarre crime wave ripped straight from the pages of, I don't know, Playgirl magazine, I guess. At least 11 naked men have been found tied to posts around the resort city, stripped nude with the letter R shaved into their heads and rosy bottoms from aggressive spanking, completing the look. They're all alive and well, beyond the obvious shame and stingy tushes. The men are all refusing to say just who did this to them, leading experts to believe this is mob or gang-related, or maybe it's a viral marketing campaign for a new Mexican Chippendale, huh? Chippendales. And the R is for raunchy. Dave?
Okay, and my last one was for Jill.
So we talked a lot on this podcast about the cult called NXIVM. Since I had a long drive up to Boston, I listened to a podcast called Uncovered Escaping NXIVM. It's about the whistleblower who basically blew the cover off of this cult, and she has the brand, and she was part of DOS, and it's a fascinating story about her escape and how it all got blown up. So check out, after you're done listening to Podadelphia and the Whip Around, check out Uncovered Escaping NXIVM.
We've got all your rabbit hole needs covered here. We've got you. No problem. The Whip Around can steal hours from your life. It's certainly stealing plenty of hours from ours. And we're happy to donate those hours to you, dear listener. Would you like to know why? Because we love you 50 times over. Bye-bye.
Best we ever did it, guys.
I feel like he says that 50 times.
I've heard a lot.
Get the hell out of here.
But, you know, sometimes a little effort is good for us. And you know what helps us remind... You know, I... I used all my segue.
Phil's talking in sans forget it right now.